Chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Thank you again for being here. Thanks to all the mothers. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping pass out all those gifts. I don't want to forget to say thank you. And thanks. I appreciate the opportunity to preach. And on these special days, Easter and now Mother's Day, and they're very special days. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, in verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, there are three times in here, and of those seven verses, three times that the word remember or remembrance is used. Actually, the word remembrance, every time it's used. In verse 3, he says, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. And then in verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And then in verse 6, he says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. And this morning, I want to preach on this subject, something to remember, something to remember. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, thank you that we've got a home waiting for us in heaven. And thank you that all we need is Jesus. And you'll get us there. And you'll get us through our lives, our daily lives. And Lord, we won't just have life. We won't just have to endure it, but we can enjoy it because you'll give us life more abundantly. And Lord, I pray that that you'll help us this morning. And Lord, teach us some things from your word and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I started out to preach the whole passage here, all seven verses, and just preach on each one of those things, on prayer and on unfeigned faith and on the gift that God's given us. But God changed it. It may become a sermon series, and, you know, preach on some things to remember, and one time preach on prayer, the next time preach on faith, and the next time preach on that gift that God gives us. But this morning, we're just going to look at one verse there, verse number 5. Verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And, you know, I want to have the kind of faith that that people remember. You know, I want to have that the same kind of faith that Timothy had. And I don't want to have that kind of faith, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to get ahead of the sermon, but I don't want to have the kind of faith that that nobody believes. You know what I mean? And I want to have the kind of faith that really has something to it. And you know, you tell people you're a Christian, and you tell people that. You know, I go to East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. I want that to mean something to people. I don't want people to say, oh, well, we know you. You know, when I was in junior high, Monroe Junior High School out by MacDill Air Force Base, picked me up at the bus stop and drove me all the way down there. I told a boy in my class that I was a Christian, and he said, you? And I still remember that, and that was a long time ago. But truth be told, I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I tried to make everybody think I was. But I want to have a faith that can be remembered, you know? Faith that can be remembered. And that faith's got to point to Jesus Christ, of course. It's got to point to Jesus Christ. But Timothy had that kind of faith, that faith that Paul remembered, that faith that he thanked God for. He had that kind of faith because of his mother, because of his grandmother. And there's some statistics that somebody gave me And if they're true, it shows something about the importance of mothers. In 1960, 82.5% of children lived with their biological father. In 1970, 77.6% of children lived with their biological father. In 1980, 67.8%. And in 1990, 61.7%. So it went down. They didn't live with their biological father. And if those statistics are true, then what that tells me is mothers are important. If the father's not in the home, then the mother is important. Now, that's not to say that men shouldn't be in the home, right? I'm not saying that a father can say, all right, I'm leaving. You're next month. You're in June. We'll talk about you then. But today we're talking about mothers. And mothers are important. I told you earlier that my mom took us to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. And every time the doors were open, we were there in the youth group and at every function. And we were there in church because my mom brought us. Now, I lived with my dad, but he wasn't in church. And so mothers, the influence of mothers, it's very important, very important. All of us that stood and gave testimony this morning talked about how our mother led us to Christ, and we wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for our mother. And I thank God that my mom was back in my life, and I thank God for mom putting the guy in a headlock and saving my life, I thank God for all of that. And we thank God for our mothers and the influence that our mothers were in our lives. And because of the influence of Eunice and of Lois, Timothy was saved and called to preach. And Paul was able to take him under his wing, and Paul calls him my own son in the faith. And had it not been for Lois and for Eunice, then none of that would have happened. We wouldn't be reading about Timothy, and we wouldn't have anything to say about him. We wouldn't even know him. And Timothy's father was a Greek. And you see that in Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, verse 1. The Bible says, then came he, talking about Paul, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And by that one verse, we can tell that his mom, that Timothy's mom, Timotheus, there's Timothy, that his mom was a Jew, but she believed. But then the word but, his father was a Greek. And that tells us that his father wasn't saved. More than likely, he wasn't saved. Now, he may have been saved at some point in his life later on. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But in this one verse, we can tell that his father probably wasn't saved. And then verse 3, the Bible says, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And so it was well known that Timothy's dad was a Greek. Timothy needed to be circumcised, and that way he could go on and serve the Lord there with Paul. That's not the point of this message. The point is that at Timothy's house, if they were going to talk about God, it was going to be because Eunice and Lois talked about God. It wasn't going to be because his daddy did. His mother and his grandmother, they're the ones that took the lead. And mothers and grandmothers, you're important. Very important. And very important in our lives. And, my wife, just like every other wife, my wife is the one that has the influence on my children in our home. I'm at work during the week. My wife is with them all the time. If there's anything good about my kids, it's because of my wife. If there's anything bad about my kids, it's because of me. But the point is that you mothers are in the home, and you're important. You're important to the kids. And we need you. We need you. If we're going to have the kind of faith that we ought to have, the kind of faith that can be remembered, the kind of faith that means something, then we need you. It was the influence of Timothy's godly mother and his grandmother that made all the difference. So let's look at it. Number one, let's look at this faith to remember. Number one, the evaluation of the faith, the evaluation of his faith. Look in verse number 5 again. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned, that means it wasn't fake. It wasn't fake. He wasn't just putting on a show. Wasn't just playing the game. He wasn't just coming to church on Sunday morning and skipping out on Sunday night and Wednesday night. He wasn't just didn't just know the Christian terminology. He didn't just know exactly what he ought to say and when he ought to say it. He didn't just come on Sunday morning, and he didn't just come on Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day and Father's Day. It was unfeigned faith. It wasn't fake. Nothing fake about it. He was real, you know? He was real. And we ought to be real Christians today. And there's a group that they want to work on the outside. You know, they want to dress sharply, and you ought to. They want to make sure that you know that they're dressed like they ought to come to church. Oh, they come to church and they sing as loud as they can, you know. They sit up and you know what I'm talking about. They do. And they want you to see when they do, right? They want you to see that. And maybe some of them are saved. I'm not going to say that they're not, or whether they are or they're not. I'm going to say we all know people that when you really get down to it, they're fake. They're fake about their Christian life. They're not really saved. You know, we've all worked with them, seen them out. I used to work with a guy up in West Virginia at that glass company I told you about, making windows, and we've made the grids together. And one day we'd be talking about the Lord and talking about going to church, and the next day he was cussing a blue streak. And, you know, the preachers told stories about, Brother Joe's told stories about seeing that lady in that car accident out there, you know, and how she talked about going to church. And then the next thing you know, and just the evidence of it, and we're going to get to the evidence in just a little bit, but the evidence of it, it's just not there. Just not there, just fake. That we need a real faith. You know, we need to get serious about the Lord. We need a real faith. And Timothy had a real faith, and he had a real faith because of his mom and because of his grandma, but it was unfeigned. And that word unfeigned is used a few times in the Bible. Two times it's used in reference to faith, in 1 Timothy 1:5 and in 2 Timothy 1:5. And we'll get to 1 Timothy 1:5 in just a minute, but it talks about unfeigned faith in both of those places. And then also it's used in reference to love in 2 Corinthians 6:6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6, the Bible says, if I can turn there, the Bible says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Love unfeigned. It wasn't fake. That love wasn't fake. He was real about it. He really loved them. And we ought to have unfeigned love as well, shouldn't we? We ought to be real about it. And people want to know that you love them, and they don't want you to lie to them when you tell them that you love them. I mean, we need to love people, unfeigned love. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So two times he's talking about faith, and two times he's talking about love. And I want you to know this morning that true love, real love, comes out of real faith. Real love, unfeigned love, comes out of unfeigned faith. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. From which some having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now we'll stop reading there. But look, the end of the commandment is charity, love. That's the end of it. That's the bottom line. We got to love people. I mean, ultimately, that's it. Well, they'll know we are Christians by our love, right? We used to sing that song. But that's the truth. If we don't love them, then they're not going to. I mean, that's what we do as Christians. We love people. We've got to love them. But true love only comes out of true faith, only comes out of real faith. That's what it said right there. The end of the commandment is charity. The end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. All that comes out of faith. Without love, all you have is vain jangling. You know what that is? Just empty talk, just yap. You know, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes I think that's what my kids hear when I talk to them, you know. Get that glazed look on your face. You understand? Bella's the worst. You understand me? Yes, sir. And then she goes right back and does whatever. You know, just stares at me. I'm just vainly jangling. Without faith, that's all you have. True love, real love, comes out of real faith. And by the way, the opposite of unfeigned faith is hypocrisy. You know? It's hypocrisy. We try to put ourselves up to be something that we're not. And that's running rampant. It's running rampant. Everybody, you hear it, I don't want to go to church because of all the hypocrites. You know? Well, then come on, we can use another one, right? You know, that's what they say. Everybody tries to show off and act in a way that that they're not. You know, I think that's a big reason why all these chat rooms and things like that go up, you know, Facebook and all those things. I can let you know whatever I want to let you know on Facebook and make you think that I'm the greatest person in the world. You know, but those of you that know me know differently. You know the real me, you know. And that's the way it is with everybody. The closer you get to somebody, the more you know them. Mark Twain said, we're all like the moon. We have a dark side we don't want anyone to see. All of us are like that. And Nathaniel Hawthorne said, no man for any considerable period can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which may be the true. I can't be one thing in private and one thing in public and it not mess me up somehow. I'm going to get all mixed up. But if I have an unfeigned faith, I don't have to worry about it. I'm real. If I'm real, I'm real. What you see is what you get. That's the way we ought to be. But it ought to be a true faith. It ought to be true. I'm not saying that we ought to just go and live like we want to live and say what you see is what you get. I'm saying we ought to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it ought to be real faith. It ought to be not fake, unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. A rather pompous-looking deacon was endeavoring to impress upon a class of boys the importance of living the Christian life. Why do people call me a Christian? The man asked. After a moment's pause, one young boy said, maybe it's because they don't know you. That's a joke. Why do people call you a Christian? Maybe it's because they don't know you. Why do people call me a Christian? Maybe it's because they don't know me. Why'd that boy, when I was in junior high, when I said, I'm a Christian, he said, you? Maybe he did know me better. The point is, we need to have unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. Are you with me? Unfeigned faith. Not fake. We try to put it on. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about coming to church. It's not about reading our Bible. There are people now that we all know that come to church. They read their Bible. They pray every day. They may pass out gospel tracts. They may give to different mission funds, and they may cross every T and dot every I. They may do everything that they ought to do. You may be in here in this room this morning. Sunday morning, got to be in church. Crossing all your T's, dotting all your I's, but you got a fake faith. It's unfeigned. It's not about the rules. It's about the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people see that, when they see that unfeigned faith, when they see that sincere faith, when they see that we're real, that we really believe what we say we believe, when they see it, and then when we love them, because love comes out of real faith, boy, they're going to want what we have. They're going to want that relationship because they're going to know that we're not fake. They're going to know that we're going to be steady and we're going to say the same thing every time when they come to us. You know? You with me? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, when people may make fun of us when we take a stand for the Lord, but when they need something, they're going to come to us. You know, because they know that we are who we really say we are. If we live the way we ought to live. And I'm not getting the point across this morning like I want to. We just can't play the game anymore. I had a boy come up to me. A young man, a friend of mine in college, came up to me one day. And we're in Bible college together. And he said, I just want you to know that I'm sorry. And I said, for what? And he said, I've been playing a game. Acting like I'm better than I am, and acting like I'm right with God. And he said, I'm playing a game, and I don't want to play the game anymore, and I just want to apologize for being a hypocrite, being fake. Now he's pastoring a church, a growing church. And he's just got a great family. I mean, he got right with God. He was fake. Now he's not. And many of us, most of us, probably all of us who are Christians, at one point or another faked it a little bit. You know, we faked it a little bit. Maybe we're faking it now. Maybe we are. But if we've got a real faith, I'm talking about we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I mean, if we really believe that he can do anything, that all things are possible with God, if we really believe that he can save a lost sinner, if we really believe that it's a wonder that when Jesus found me, that he saved us and made us whole and made us whole again, if we really believe he did that for us, and we really believe he can do it for other people, then we're going to live differently, aren't we? We're going to have that unfeigned faith. And Timothy had an unfeigned faith. That was Paul's evaluation of it. Paul saw that faith, and the evaluation of it was that it wasn't fake. He was real. He was really saved, really a Christian. Number two, quickly, the example. The example. Look back in 2 Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. It was first in grandma, then she passed it on to mama, and then she passed it on to her son, Timothy. Right down the line. Right down the line. Grandma, mom, Timothy. And that faith dwelled in her. It said, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. You see that? Not only was Timothy's faith real, but grandma's was and mama's was, because it wasn't just faith that was first in Eunice and first in Lois, but it was the unfeigned faith, right? It was the not fake faith. It was that real faith. It was the real deal. So grandma and mama lived it at home, and Timothy saw how it was, saw the way you ought to live. And they really trusted God. I mean, they had to trust God. Some of you have lived with family members that aren't saved, and you really got to trust God and get through it, and it's tough. You really got to have a good faith, a good unfeigned faith. If we don't have real faith, we're not going to get through all the things that we go through. We're not going to get through this life if we don't have that real faith. And Timothy saw that acted out. He saw it acted out with his mom and with his grandma. And look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Y'all with me? 2 Timothy 3:14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Look at that in verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." We read in Acts chapter 16 that Timothy was already a believer when Paul got there. He was a believer, right? He said there was Timothy. He was a believer. His mom was a believer. His grandma was a believer, but his dad was a Greek. And Timothy had been taught some things, and Paul came around and he taught him some more things. But first, his mom and his grandma taught him. Said from a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. And he was taught some things. The Bible says there, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." He nailed it down. They were fixed. They were fixed in his mind. We ought to have that, and we will have that. This isn't a message just for mothers. It's important for mothers to live this way. It's important for mothers to live in a way that would be an example of an unfeigned faith. It's important for mothers to live in a way that would help their children make sure of some things and be assured of some things. But it's important for all of us to live this way. It's important for all of us. We got to nail some things down. There's some things that we got to nail down. Who we are in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven one day, the heaven that we've been singing about all morning long. I'm going there someday. I've got that nailed down. I'm on my way to heaven. But while I'm here, the same God that's strong enough to get me to heaven is strong enough to get me through each day. Amen? That same God that's with me is the same God that carries that rod that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. He's the same God that carries that staff and guides me. He's the same God that's going to get us through all the things that we're going through. He's the same God that can give us a miracle when we need it. Right? He's the same God. He said, "I am I am, and I'm going to keep on being. I was, and I am, and I will be. He's the same God. We got to nail those things down. And we will if we have an unfeigned faith. If it's not fake, it's got to be true. It's got to be true. I think too many people are walking around and they say a prayer and you say, well, are you saved? Yes, sir, I'm saved. Well, how do you know you're saved? Well, because I prayed. No, that's not how you're saved. That's not why you're saved. If you're saved, it's because you believed. You had an unfeigned faith, right? If you're saved, you had an unfeigned faith. And if you're saved, then we're sure of all these things. We're sure that God's going to be with us. We're sure that he's going to walk through the valley with us. We're sure that he's going to walk on the mountain with us. We're sure about all these things. And Timothy was sure of some things. And sure that we have the Bible right here in our hand. God's word right here. We can be sure of it. Sure of it. And Timothy's mom and his grandma set the example. Look again in chapter 3, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. How did Timothy get a hold of that unfeigned faith that Eunice and Lois had? How did he get it? From a child, his mama and his grandma taught him the scriptures. From a little child, a little kid, just a little boy running around, mama and grandma taught him some things. Here's what the Bible says. Now, they didn't have the New Testament, they just had the Old Testament, you know, but they taught him some things. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, very quickly. I want to read a few verses. Verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So you got to teach them. You got to teach them. When you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're sitting down, when you're standing up, all the time. There's different times. Different times. They call them teachable moments, you know. When you're walking by the way, you don't always have to sit down and say, okay, we're going to have family devotions. Take your Bibles. You know, we take your kids, and your kids are going to go, and they're going to go right to sleep. You know what I mean? And they're not going to get all that you can. You got to make it a little bit fun, you know. I know that's a bad word sometimes when you talk about teaching the Bible, but you got to make it a little bit fun, right? And let them have a little bit of fun. But you can teach them even greater lessons. You ought to have family devotions. But you can. We just had family devotions not too long ago when I think I told you, I used the game Mousetrap. Talk about how the devil's out to get them. And I said, don't take the devil's cheese or he'll trap you. And Sammy said, now that's a Bible story. And when we just told him a story the other night, I said, here's the title of the story. They said, what's it about, Daddy? And I said, well, here's the title of it. I said, here's the title. Hey, baby, want to ride my camel? And they said, what? And I said, well, I told them the story of how Abraham's servant went and got a wife for Isaac, and she rode the camel back. You know, she lighted off her camel. So she had to be on the camel, so that was the title. Hey, baby, want to ride my camel? They loved it. Who's riding a camel, Daddy? You got to make it a little bit fun. But you can teach them things, not just when you're sitting down or when you're lying down, getting ready to go to bed. You can teach them things when you're going through the drive-thru at McDonald's, or when you're walking out on the sidewalk, or when you're in the grocery store, or when you're taking them to school, or whatever. You can teach them things. You can teach them things when you're around them here at church. We can teach others things just off the cuff. You know, just while we're walking by the way, we've got to be an example, set an example. Each one of us is influencing somebody else. Each one of us. And you think, well, I'm young. No, you're influencing somebody. All the way down to even our 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 5-year-olds, they're influencing the 3-year-olds. You know, there are things that Bella does and that Ethan does because they see their older brothers and sisters do it, you know? We're all influencing somebody else. And we ought to. We ought to be setting an example. And the example that Timothy had to follow of that unfeigned faith was Lois and Eunice. And they passed it down because they taught him the Bible. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From a child. Let me read something to you. A study once disclosed, now this is back years and years ago, and it's the percentages are going to be off a little bit, but you'll get the point. A study showed that if mom and dad both attend church regularly, 72% of children remain faithful. If only dad, 55% remain faithful. If only mom, 15%. And if neither attend regularly, only 6% remain faithful. Now, this is 20 years ago when they did this. But the percentages, the point is, mom and dad both got to be in church and the kids will follow. But if just mom is in church, at least 9%, you got 9% better chance of your children staying in and following the Lord. Now look, God can do anything, and we're not bound by these percentages. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that you got to set the example, moms, you know, and grandmas. You know, you know who my babysitter is when we need a babysitter for my kids? My mom. She's around the kids some weeks more than I am. God help them. No, I'm just kidding. she's around them more often than I am sometimes. And she's got to influence them. You know, and that's the way it is. I didn't live at this time when a lot of people did this, but I know that years ago, families all lived together. You know, grandma and grandpa may not have lived in the same house together, but they had a house right across the street. You know, you'd have one street that was, you know, it was all Taglarini's or Kidwell's or whatever. You know, you had almost like a little family compound, you know, and, you know, you have grandma up on the hill and, you know, everybody lived pretty close to each other, and grandmas and grandpas could really influence their kids. I know that's before my time and before some of your time. It's way before my time. Some of y'all are nodding your head like you know what I'm talking about. But it's true, and what I'm trying to say is grandmas and mothers got to influence your kids. And I'm also saying that not only grandmas and mamas ought to influence their kids and influence others for Christ, but we all ought to do that. We all ought to set the example. That means we got to start with an unfeigned faith. We all have to start with that unfeigned faith. Number three, really quickly, let's look at the evidence. The evidence. I've been preaching too long already, so let me finish up. Paul said, I am persuaded that it's in you also. He said it was first in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in thee also. True, unfeigned faith bears fruit. And write down in your margin there, Matthew 7, verse 15 through 20. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. I'll look at it very quickly. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Timothy's fruit was an unfeigned faith. And Paul was persuaded of that. And it had been handed down from his grandma and from his mama. That was the fruit that Timothy was given off. Was bearing, excuse me. And true unfeigned faith bears fruit, bears good fruit. And that's the fruit there of this faith, the evidence. There was evidence that Timothy was saved. Paul was persuaded. It didn't take much to convince him, and he didn't have to be convinced again. He said, that guy's saved. I know he's saved. And I know he's saved because of the unfeigned faith that he has. And I know where he got it from. He got it from his mama, and he got it from his grandma. And they put some things into him, and they taught him some things. And so this morning, I just want to tell you, moms and grandmas, you're important to us. We need your influence. We need you. This world needs you. And there's boys and girls out there today that don't have a good influence from their mother or from their father. And we see what's happening. We see how things are going. And if we want to see a change in the next generation, we've got to influence this generation for Christ. We've got to influence our friends, and we've got to influence our kids to live right and to do the right thing. And I know that many of you don't have young children. I know that a great number of you have children that are already grown, and you've already raised your kids. But now you've got little boys and girls running around this church that you can help and you can influence. And you've got not just little boys and little girls, but you've got teenagers that you can influence, and you've got young ladies that you can influence. And there's many, many people that you can be an influence for Christ. And then when people see us, they'll say, that's an unfeigned faith. And then when they see that, they'll say, well, we know where he got it from. He got it from his mama. He got it from his grandma. And we know he's got it because there's some fruit in his life. He's bearing fruit in your life. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you have a faith to remember, something to remember? Is there evidence in your life that you've got that unfeigned faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the faith that's been passed down in my family. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to pass it on to my children. And Lord, I pray that they'll pass it on to my grandchildren eventually. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us a godly heritage, a godly legacy. Lord, help us not to just leave consumption, but Lord, help us to leave a legacy. Lord, thank you for the older women here that help take the younger women under their wing. And Lord, I pray that you'll do a great work. Just a great work, Lord. And please, God, I pray that you'll help us all to have that unfeigned faith. Lord, help us to be real. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you stand with me? Brother Joe.